Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the October 26th edition of Commodity Week. The old crop soybeans rallied this week, but corn and wheat finished lower. Can the bean market hold flagging demand for corn in check? And what of the South American planting progress? Supply, demand. We'll ask these and many more questions today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Tim Hannigan of Alpari U.S. He's in Chicago. Our panelists today include Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. Dale Durkles from AgriVisor from Bloomington, Illinois. And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. Ellen Dearden, the Ukrainian government says it will impose an export ban on wheat beginning the 15th day of November. The market rallied, of course, and then, well, nothing. Is there a good explanation for why?
I think there's two things at play. First, we had talked about that for over a week's time. The second thing is that we've got South American supplies, the Argentine wheat crop, even though it's a little delayed, it'll be coming in here, coming into play. Same thing goes for the Australian wheat crop, even though it's small.
Pete Manhart?
I would agree with that. We'd talked about it so long ahead of that it was expected. It's like the old buy the rumor, sell the fact. Not much there.
And Dale Durkles.
You know, I think they basically covered the situation. Another thing that might have fit into it, there was somebody nibbling around and actually bought a small lot of Ukrainian wheat after the announcement supposedly came back. And it's still not real clear-cut whether they did it or not, but it's been expected so long that it's really a non-event more than anything else.
Well, I'm glad I started with a non-event. Thank you to me very
you
much
did.
On that one. December wheat this week at a high price of $8.95, a low at $8.60. Its settlement price was down eight and three quarters at $8.63 and three quarters July. $8.64 and three quarters was up 16 and a half cents. Dale, I want to stay with wheat for just a bit. On the idea that really we do need the South American or Southern Hemisphere crop to come in to support supplies pretty heavily in the next 6 months. Is that a possibility?
We need them to support supplies reasonably well. Not, you know, the one misnomer that people have here that we got to be careful about is that wheat supplies still weren't as tight overall as when you go back to roughly 3 years ago. Yes, we are going to be tight, but we're not incredibly so. Russia, Ukraine basically are out of the market for all purposes on wheat. The European will probably fill in the blank here at this point for a while until we get Australia and supplies coming out of Argentina, which may have some problems with being too wet. So that leaves the U.S. being the back end of the game, if at all, in the mix in here. And so I think that's one reason the market's struggling to hold gains.
December corn this week, a high of $7.67. The low there at $7.37. Settlement price was down 23 and three quarters on the week, Friday to Friday. at $7.37¾, just 0.75 cents above the low for the week. December contract for next year, or 2013, at $6.35¼, finished a half of a cent higher. It was, a down week in the nearby contracts, but December 13 held on fairly strong, and I think maybe I'd like to go across the board, and we've been asking this the last several weeks, whether our analysts believe producers should be trying to lock in some kind of sale for the 2013 crop or not. We'll start with Ellen.
First of all, the bare spreading that we've seen in wheat is exactly the same thing we've seen in corn, and the attempt is to get acres at least. We started making a token 2013 corn sale December futures in the 650 area, and I still think that's a decent place to start.
Yeah, without the drought, that 650 is a good number. There have been elevators trying to lock in supplies that far out that were paying the 620, 630 this week cash, and I would take care of some of that. But we would on the board be, if we got close to 650, start doing something to lock in prices.
You know, that's really a strategy I think producers really need to take a serious look at. When you look at the pattern developing on the December 13 contract, you can either say it's a broad distribution top that's starting to build, or you can even look and start to see a potential head and shoulders top starting to build in the mix there at that point. So you get up in there around the 6.5 level, yeah, you start getting some stuff on the books, I think.
I just think the market at some point in time is going to try to have corn acres against bean acres again as we go into the first of the year. So I'm not too anxious to lock in a ton of stuff, but as we go into the first of the year, I think that's, from a time standpoint, going to be a real good time to lock in prices on the 2013.
Come back to the old crop for me, Pete, because there are some interesting things happening, and you've read it and heard about it, probably talked to elevator operators, knowing full well that the movement of corn is coming to the south, to Decatur primarily, but other places as well, to fill the need for good quality corn. What does that mean for a producer in our listing area, primary Illinois, Indiana?
Well, if you've got good corn, they want it. If you've got poor corn or possible aflatoxin, they don't want it, and that's hurt our exports somewhat also. But I still think we've got shots at going back up 30-50 by the middle of January, where I would lock in old and new crop.
I think from a cash standpoint, we've got three different scenarios. We've got the river. There's nothing going on the river systems. We've got the processor market that's a fairly hot market, and we also have the livestock market. Both the processor and the livestock market, because of the DDGs coming out of the ethanol market, want the best quality they can have. So therefore, displaced corn coming from the north into the central Illinois region or even into the Indiana region, is coming with is weakening basis for producers in this area.
Well, you know, you have to look at it from the perspective of where the crops were. I mean, you know, the epicenter of the drought, in one sense, the water survey had said was down in southwestern Indiana, and you go into southern Illinois, southern Indiana, I mean, you really had nothing. We had crops here in central Illinois that were hurt pretty hard, and you go on up into northern Iowa, up into Minnesota, into the Dakotas, and you had exceptionally good crops. So it's going to be a draw coming down in here, no doubt about it. And right now, you know, just the basic spread structure between cash prices up there and down here basically more than covers your cost of transportation. So it makes it legitimate to bring the better quality corn down in here at this point in time.
One analyst I know will say that keeping corn, good corn, on the idea that it will be higher priced later in the year isn't all that good of an idea. Would you agree or disagree?
I think right now that I'm really not anxious to price anything down here. There is still some short-term downside risk in the market, but I think there's still, as we move ahead, you know, some upside potential left into the mix here. When you look at the price cycles, and I've talked about these before, the low we had at the end of September still stands up as a 40-week low. And so you're really much too soon, it looks to me, to have any kind of a short-term peak in the market at this point. So I think between now and the end of the year and maybe into the early part of the new year, we'll have better prices. Now, beyond that, I wouldn't want to really be holding on to anything very aggressively, unpriced in some fashion. Now, basis gains may occur, but we won't see flat prices gain.
Yeah, I think basis will take care of a lot of it, but I think I agree with the time frame of between now and the mid-January, I want to pretty much unload everything I got or make sure I've got it covered with some kind of put structure if I'm going to hold it.
I think we're looking at a big basis play coming up. I don't think it's going to be a big board move. And with this January time frame nailed by all three of us, that says to me that USDA is going to have some kind of a bit bearish surprise there.
Soy complex now. November beans this week, a $15.74¾ top. The bottom at $15.26½. And the settlement price at $15.61¼, up 27 cents for the week. November of next year at $13.39¾, finished 2 cents higher. This week, Michael Cordonier, a regular on this program, wrote he was estimating that Brazilian farmers had forward sold about 40% of their next crop. Now, given that country on its own merits should outproduce U.S. farmers in this drought-stricken season at least, do you suppose the offsetting positions likely taken by the grain companies played a major role in the, quote, harvest pressure weakness of soybeans in Chicago?
I would think that most of the hedging for South American beans are being done in that May option rather than out to the November. So I'm not sure if that's a real valid comment.
All right.
I don't think that's had that much of an effect. I just think it's the harvest pressure. So much was pre-sold. That's now been there. Now, are we going to see anything on usage slow down? We haven't really slowed bean exports or bean usage in a lot of places much. So we're going to be the only game in town if we aren't ready to buy it until mid-January. I see it grinding upward.
You know, you got to remember these new crop sales out of South America, they started all the way back in latter part of spring, early part of summer. It's been going on for a long time. The other thing you have to remember about South America, producers this year have sold a lot in the cash market, but normally what they do is they barter with the grain companies and the input companies and basically exchange bushels for inputs. And this year, because the prices were so good, they just flat went ahead and made the cash sales themselves and paid for their inputs for cash. So we've sold a lot. It sounds like a lot, but it isn't necessarily all that abnormal either.
And I think the price had a lot to do with it. You know, we were up over 17. Without the drought, you're looking at 13.50 to 14. And they just took advantage of it and said, we're selling.
Well, if they have half the crop sold in the process, does that leave more upside potential in the bean market over the coming months then, Ellen?
I think it does, but probably not for that reason. I just don't think that selling 40% ahead at this stage of the game, yeah, it's about 15% more than normal, is as big a factor as you want to make it out to be.
I don't want to make it out to be. So.
Well, we got to remember through a lot of that period, too, back early on in the period, their real was weakening. So even as our markets was giving, they were seeing new record highs in prices priced in real. So, I mean, they had price incentive to get things done.
All right. So let me go back then, and maybe each of you can take this one up, because there was a time where most thought that the soybean market should lead as we move through the fall. Because of the short supply coming out of Brazil and South America, Argentina in the last crop year, and of course this crop year from the United States, have we backed away from that substantially?
I think right now we're kind of letting the wheat market lead things. You know, it's taken a leadership position in this last week's time, and that's going to bounce around. I would anticipate that the bean market will again lead the upside, but it will come from the fund sector more so than the commercial side.
We have to remember, too, in the last week, we had lows last week at, what, 1485, and that was 290 to 3 bucks below the highs. So when we bounced this week, there was a lot of sales made due to that 80-cent bounce that we had.
You know, the other aspect you have to remember about this, and I think Bean still maintained a leadership role here at this point, and I'd argue that you know, this week is proof of it. They performed well while the other two waffled around. Beans are cheap relative to corn, but more importantly, bean meal is cheap relative to corn in a longer-term sense. So that argues that your demand base there should continue to be fairly robust when you look at it compared to other competing products.
Called a demand base for
bean meal or proteins, period.
The bean complex totally.
Well, other than oil. But your bean meal demand is going to continue to be good, you know, and your bean meal demand is going to continue to keep your crush margins at relatively good levels, not great, but good levels. And that means not only do we have a good export offtake, but we also have a fairly robust crush pace.
Meal had a great week. Bean oil had heavy volume on days that we did not see volume in the rest of the market.
That wraps up the first half of Commodity Week. Our panelists in studio with us today include Ellen Dearden of AgriView, Dale Durkles of AgriVisor, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be back. We'll talk with Tim Hannigan of Alpari, U.S.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. It was a very warm week across Illinois with temperatures 5 degrees above normal until cold weather arrived on Thursday and Friday. There was quite a bit of rainfall in central and northern Illinois with amounts in the range of 1 to 3 inches. It was drier in parts of western and southern Illinois where amounts were less than an inch. So far, October is shaping up to be 1 degree below normal and about 2 inches above normal on rainfall. As a result, we have seen good recovery of soil moisture and stream flows from this year's drought. However, we still need improvements in subsoil moisture, ponds and lakes, and groundwater levels. The forecast for this weekend is for colder than normal temperatures and no rain. On Saturday, highs will be in the upper 40s in northern Illinois and in the low to mid 50s for central and southern Illinois. Saturday night, lows will be near the freezing mark across the state. It'll be more of the same on Sunday with highs in the upper 40s and low 50s across the state. Lows Sunday night will be in the upper 20s and low 30s. It will remain cold next week with highs in the upper 40s and low 50s with lows in the low 30s. No rainfall is expected until Wednesday at the earliest. The big story this week will be Hurricane Sandy as it moves up the East Coast. In fact, some of the precipitation from that storm may reach as far as Illinois by Wednesday or Thursday. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
You're listening to the October 26th edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today include Dale Durkles, Pete Manhart, and Ellen Dearden. On the phone line is Tim Hannigan. He's the senior grains analyst for Alpari U.S. Hannigan has more than 37 years of experience in the commodity markets and is a nationally recognized expert on the grain markets. His opinions, of course, show up in the Wall Street Journal, Barron's Futures Magazine, Investor's Business Dailies, and some other periodicals. Thank you so much for taking the time with us, Tim. Most of our listeners will not be familiar with Alpari U.S. Can you tell me about the company, please?
Well, they're largely a forex trading company. Boy, they're in 29 different countries with offices, and when you say Alpari, that comes from the office in Paris. So here in Chicago, we kind of mix it up and butcher it a little bit, and we call it Alpari, but some say tomato and some say tomato. They're very big in the forex, and essentially they see the advantage of what's happening with grain from a worldwide trade perspective. This is a worldwide company. So they came to me and said, look, you're known in the industry for your grain knowledge, especially from a fundamental perspective, and then we need you to explain the situation to people. Come to our company. And so I did, and it's really a ground floor opportunity to develop the grain research and trading division of the company. I'm excited about it.
What is the fundamental that you are most concentrating on today?
Well, pretty much, what the funds are going to do next. And your guests were hitting it right on. It looks like it's going to be beans, are going to be the leader. Yes, there's some mention here today that wheat was a little bit of the leader today. We're, corn's a little bit of the tail of the dog. We're outside of the supply-side-driven fundamentals now. Weather and its effect on the crop condition reports are no longer a factor for corn and beans. They're done. So we've moved into a demand-driven market, as we normally do this time of year anyway. So where is the demand now? It's certainly not for corn, and it's only marginal at best for wheat right now. It's for beans. We're the sole port of origin in the world to buy beans from until the South American crop comes online and can be delivered at earliest dates, the end of February and through into March. So we know something about demand. It's going to stay at least good, and there's going to be some weeks like we had 3 weeks ago when China was in for over 1 million metric tons. So I suspect between now and the South American weather and its effect on its production becomes much clearer to the Chinese, and that might not be till mid-January until it becomes clearer. Until then, I would suspect each and every week we're going to see at least good demand for beans, supportive certainly on the breaks in the market. But every so often, I think we're going to see some really great demand, and there's going to be some big purchases there. The problem I have with corn is I'm disturbed that I think our government is working against us here on the corn a little bit. Corn demand is less than miserable, as you know. A year ago, in October, each and every week, we exported, on our weekly export sales reports, over 1 million metric tons each week. This week, I think our average, or this month so far, is about 156,000 metric tons. And we're seeing cancellations of previous purchases by China, which were very small amounts, but not like we saw last year and the year prior where they just moved it to the new marketing year. I think they're going to move it to a new port. It's probably going to be Argentina. We know Argentina agreed with China to plant more acres and agreed to deliver those acres or the production to China. So we know something that I think from just reading between the lines that our government, through the USDA, has told our best customers, whether it's Japan, whether it's potential business from China or South Korea, please go buy corn elsewhere, and whatever you need, minimal to fill the holes in the gap, we'll be glad to meet. But the large tonnage, we're just not seeing it. And I think it's very clear. So corn demand, I'm not looking to pick up anytime soon. As long as Mr. Obama is your president, I think the mandate is let's ration the crop, let's keep our sales at a minimum, let's keep the ending stocks, hopefully not to go lower than the 619 million bushels they expect to have left over. And I think they're going to try and manage that, and I've been watching them manage it very closely. With wheat, a little bit different. Wheat, it's interesting. December wheat has traded between 840 and 950 since July 23rd. It's narrowed in a little bit between 845 and 905 since September 24th. Chartists will say, it's just in a sideways market. But if you notice, wheat didn't pull down off the summer highs like corn and beans did when the corn and bean harvest was progressing. And we saw what was basically known as our classic harvest correction. And the reason being is because everybody is waiting for this big demand to come in. We know Australia and Russia, their crops are bad. The other guests mentioned, exports out of those regions and so on and so forth. Everybody has this perception that we're going to become this number one port of origin to buy from. Unfortunately, though, there's still some countries out there in the European Union nations, some of the smaller ones, well, maybe not so small, but like France, that have wheat for sale under U.S. value. So I think our export sales weekly are going to stay about neutral to slightly friendly, at least on breaks between 5 and 600 thousand metric tons, but to get to the 700,000, 800,000, or 900,000 metric tons sold weekly, we're probably about a month away. We have to draw down the Australian stocks a little more, make sure that the Black Sea region is done selling their wheat, but I think we're still going to see countries like Egypt, the number one monthly purchaser of wheat on the world market continue to buy elsewhere. And that's another issue. I think a lot of it's political. You know, everybody knows Egypt buys about 500,000-700,000 metric tons monthly. They just bought a little over 500,000 on the world market from France. Well, it was cheaper. Why not? But they didn't even throw us a bone. You know, if you go back to 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they were kind of a political ally of ours. We always did a little business with them. It's kind of gone away the last 12, 13, 14 months, and I wonder if it's even going to come back. And we need them in the market right now because they're the big tonnage.
Can you tell me on the bean side of things, demand destruction, at what point will that begin? Is it a price target or is it a time target?
You say price demand destruction?
On beans. When will it start?
Well, my personal opinion is this. I think demand is good enough to support the breaks right now. I'm not sure we're going to see anything great over the next 3 or 4 weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if we pushed down and tested the November contract before it expires, that 1505 level, even fill that gap down to 1478. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And pulling the corn down possibly to fill the gap left, which would be about a 50% retracement on the chart for December. That's down around, I believe that's 675, I think it is, on the December corn. So I think we're getting ready, oddly enough, though demand for beans have been good, I think we're going to see some softness in the market. It's going to pull back. Once we fill that gap down around 1478 in that area there, I think demand is, you're going to see China do what we call some insurance buying. In late November, and I think this will occur probably next 2.5 weeks, but late November into December, look for China to come in. Just start buying a lot of beans for March, April, May shipment, knowing that very well that if the Brazilian crop comes in good, as many think it will with good weather, they're going to cancel those and buy beans probably $2 a bushel cheaper in January and February. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it right now. And so much of it depends on really what happens with the weather in South America. We know Argentina's having good rain, maybe a little too much. We know that right now, but that'll level off a little bit. Southeast Brazil has been wet, but central northern Brazil is still very hot and very dry. So it's still a problem. And if the marketplace catches word on that, then that 1478 level won't be hit. We'll be trading a weather market, very similar to what we started to do last year when we got into November and December, and people were talking about how dry it was in South America.
Do you think USDA will change acreage at all much on harvested acres, especially on the corn for this last year?
Well, I think the perception going into the future reports, and especially the November report and probably the final report, which I believe is sometime in early January, I think the perception ahead of it by the trade is they have to. You know, the market trades fear before facts, so we'll see strength in the market going into those reports. Will they? Looking at what they've done over the last 2 years, I think the government takes a conservative approach, and I think if they do, it'll be marginal at best, that any kind of a pullback will not be enough to drive the market. But I think the market fear will be that they will cut the harvested acres. So I think you'll see strength into that November report and then again into that final report in January.
Tim, thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks for having me.
Tim Hannigan of Alpari U.S. joins us here on the Commodity Week program. Time for a final word from our panelist in studio, Ellen Dearden.
Low volume days like we've seen this past week usually kind of lull everybody. Don't let the market get away from you just because volume's low.
Pete Manhart?
Be careful out there in what you've stored and make sure it's in good shape if you don't have it in the elevator.
And Dale Dirkles.
You know, I think right now after the break and probably harvest wrapping up that a little patience, you know, markets will get to higher levels. You're just going to have to give it some time.
And that wraps up this edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Again, thanks to our panelists, Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, Dale Dirkles of AgriVisor from Bloomington, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Our guest, of course, thanks to him too, Tim Hannigan of Alpari, U.S. Have a great week.